So if you haven't gathered through my rambling so far, basically I just wanted to encourage us to about confidence, that actually we do have good news. Jesus is good news for all people. And then that tension maybe between being intentional about our friendships, but also not seeing people as projects, because, you know. So for the last part of this morning, I just wanted to share a little bit about my 3 years in Ealing. I'm going to say now, I have not read, I did do Walk Across the Room by Bill Hybels, which is a very good book to read when I was in Ealing. But I'm just saying now, I haven't read loads of books on evangelism. So this is just, okay, this is just my story of my time in Ealing, and I've tried to pull out a few things that that I've been thinking about, and things that maybe I, now that I've moved again and I'm in the same position, that I'm thinking about again. So after about sort of 6 months of living in Ealing, I was thinking about, right, how can I, and the people that I'd got to know, and I was beginning to think about, you know, how can I be intentional about some of these friendships? And for me, what was emerging, that probably the people that I could probably do that most with was my neighbours. I decided that church was probably pretty much full of Christians. Not everyone there was, but, you know. Work, well, I loved actually work. And everyone from work travelled in from long ways. And so actually reality was that probably in work I needed to be a witness and I would have conversations, but probably outside of work people weren't going to see each other, because they, when they went back to their homes, actually for us all to get together, it could be like an hour's commute, you know, for us to meet up. So for me, but for others of you, you know, your workplace is going to be your place of intentional friendships, you know. But for me in the end, I decided that probably it was my neighbours. They were quite good fun. We seemed to get on well. We obviously, I didn't know loads of them at all. I'd had snippet conversations with a few, but I obviously was looking down my street thinking, I see others of you walk down to the same school as my children, thinking, oh, there could be potential here. But I started to think about how could I be a bit more intentional than just those snippet quick conversations that you often have on the school run, where you're dodging the scooter that's about to whack you in the back of the heels, or for us on a Monday morning after bin day, dodging the dirty rubbish across the room that across the pavements that the foxes have basically strewn across the floor. So I was trying to think, how can I be more intentional than just those snippets of conversations that you get? And I had one day, I was coming back from the school run, it must have been a Friday because I wasn't working, and I had a conversation with one of my neighbours who was sort of just outside her door, probably putting recycling out or something. And I sort of stopped and chatted to her, Afshan, and I sort of said, oh, have you got anything planned for the weekend? And I can remember she said, oh, I can't even remember what the film was now, but she said she was going to the cinema to see a film because she'd read the book. And so she said, oh, I loved the book, so I really want to go and see the film tonight. And I really like reading, and I'd been thinking about, you know, I'd heard people talk about book clubs, so I thought, this is the moment. So I said to her, oh, have you ever thought, do you like reading then? She said, yes. She said, but, you know, the normal, oh, but I don't get enough time nowadays, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, have you ever thought about, you know, making a book club? And she said, oh, that would be quite interesting, but would I be able to read a book in a month and blah, blah, blah? And I said, well, you know, we could, well, you know, I'm sure we could. And I said, do you think there'd be anyone else interested? And she said, oh, I'm not sure. And I said, oh, you know, and I said jokingly, oh, we could have a Earlsmere Gardens book club. And so she said, oh, well, maybe we should ask a couple of people. So she knew more people than me. So there's another little tip. If you're not the gatherer, find who the gatherer is, okay? Because there is always somebody who's like that person that seems to be able to draw everybody. So I sometimes think connect with them and then they'll connect you with everybody else, okay? So anyway, so she then said, oh, I'll ask such and such and such and such. And then I happened to see another neighbour and mentioned it to her. She was quite keen. And then I think within about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, basically, there was 8 members of the Earlsmere Gardens Book Club living at number 8, 13, 15, 15A, 23, 25, 36 and 44. And so we had our first meeting basically at my house. And it was funny, that first meeting, because I could tell that some people were absolutely fine about coming into somebody's house they hadn't been in before. But some people were a bit nervous and some people weren't quite sure. And everyone did the first sort of few minutes where they're going, oh, I don't know if I can read a book in a month and blah, 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 you know. But actually, after that first evening, I think everyone realized it was going to be good fun whether we read books or not. And we did have lots of fun in our book club. We talked lots, we laughed lots, we ate lots, we drank lots of Prosecco because they were really into Prosecco. We arrived back to our houses far too late on the Thursday night, or mostly very early Friday morning, us all creeping down the road back to our houses. But I think that one of the things I'd say to you, and one of the reasons I suggested a book club, is because actually it's something I quite enjoy. And I think the thing you need to do is you need to do the thing you actually enjoy. There's nothing worse than going to something because you just feel you have to go to it. You know, that actually you need to do something that you enjoy. You know, what is it that you like to do with others? Because if you probably do this, the friendships you'll form will be more natural because you've got something in common. Probably everybody will want to be there. You know, they don't feel they have to be there. And I also think that you as well will be more committed to it. Does that make sense? And you'll make it more of a priority. You know, Rich often worked in the evenings. And so if he was out when book club was on, obviously sometimes I had the opportunity to host it. But if other people were in the same position as me, then I would always get a babysitter. And I was fortunate there were a few teenagers who I could do it, but I would always pay for a babysitter. And I think that sometimes also, you know, I wanted to show these friends that I was committed to them. And so actually in the whole of the time I was there, in the 2.5 years that the book club was on, I didn't miss a book club. And because I wanted them to know that actually I really valued their friendship. So I think the thing that I would encourage you is just to do something you enjoy. You know, for me, it was the book club. In where I am now, it may be something different. I don't know. I'm trying to work that out at the moment. What is it that I could do with other people that I would enjoy and that would mean I started to form some intentional relationships? You know, for you, it might be something totally different. It might be a sports club. It could be an art group. It could be orchestra. It could be that you have a ministry in coffee shops. It could be all sorts of things that you feel that you could, that it maybe you do. But I really encourage you to do something you actually enjoy. Don't start something that you know from the beginning you don't massively enjoy, because I think you'll find it hard to stick at it, and it won't. And the friendships maybe in it that you form won't feel maybe quite so natural. In the book club, I think the other thing I would say is that you have to start where people are at. So I think to avoid being weird, you simply have to answer when your friendship develops. You simply have to answer the question they've actually asked. And what I mean by that is, I think there's a temptation that we feel we have to say more, that if this might be our only opportunity to, and there are times when it maybe that is the case, but actually if it's a friendship that's hopefully ongoing, that isn't your only opportunity to share in that moment. So, I mean, the nature of a book club is you do a lot of talking, which probably helps. I was also part of a badminton club, and that was more the snippet of conversation between, I wouldn't say it's massively serious badminton club, just so that you know, but I did commit to that as well, and I loved the people there, and I do quite like badminton, it was different. It's harder, and it took longer. And I can see that if I'd been there for longer with them, it just is a longer process, if that makes sense. But we used to have conversations, too many conversations normally between matches, because the people on the other court would have about three in the time that we had one. But anyway, you know, so, but I think the nature of book club is that people did a lot of talking. And I know that sometimes, you know, things would come up about faith or religion or what people believed or what was happening in their lives. I'll give you a really simple example. One of the books we did was based in an Islamic country, in an Islamic culture. Three of the women in the group were Muslim or had been brought up Muslim in Muslim families. None of them were massively practicing at that point. One of them was. The other two weren't particularly. And in this in this book, it talked about the Muslim wedding, which I think is called a nikah. And so they were all reflecting on the three of them were reflecting on their weddings. They'd all married English husbands who weren't Muslim. And so they were talking about what their husbands had to do before they could go to the Muslim wedding and things like that. And so then they asked everybody about their weddings. And then obviously I said that I'd got married in a church. And they said, oh, yes. It's funny what they say. They said, oh, yes, because Richard's works for a church, doesn't he? And I said, yes. And then I think I can remember one of them saying, I know Richard works at church, but does that mean you have to go every week? And I said, oh, I don't have to go every week, But I do go to church every week, yes. And then the next person said, well, what is it that you do at church? What actually happens at church? So then I literally only answered that question. So I just literally said, oh, but when we arrive, you can have coffee and tea. Then we go into the main church. There'll be, the children will go to their groups where they do art and craft and music and a bit of teaching, a Bible story. I'll stay in the main thing. We do worship led by a band, and then someone will come and talk. And then we have, I literally went through it like that. I didn't tell them any, you know, I just did that. And, you know, and I think, and then I know that in, you know, a couple of months later, something else comes. And I just answered the question, because I think sometimes when you give them too much, then it does start to become a bit weird. Do you know what I mean? When they've asked about what happens at church and you go into a gospel presentation, it just is a little bit much for them. So I would really say, you know, start where people are at and just answer the questions that they're asking. And, you know, and it did progress. And there were other conversations that then where people talked about, well, what is it? Then later on, again, I think we did a couple of books that were based in different cultures, and therefore the beliefs came up. And so they would talk about what the their faith would talk about and what their faith be. And then they would ask me what I believed as a Christian. So I would just say, as well as doing something in joy, secondly, answer the questions that people are actually asking. Start where people are actually at. I think the third thing to remember is that it's a... I love this word because it's really in, isn't it? When you watch Strictly, everyone's on a journey. But do you know what I mean on the dancing journey? But on in the faith, people are on a journey. Okay. Now, I know somewhere on the internet there's like, Rich kept saying to me, there's something online where you can show people the stages of faith. Well, I couldn't find it. So, but I know, we all know, can't we, that it is a journey, that actually there are things that show you that people have to go. There's so many encounters often that people have to have before they come to a place where they actually come to faith and come to accepting Jesus as their, you know, as their saviour. And I think that's really important to remember, that actually it's a long friendship. It's just a friendship, and you will journey with that person on the friendship and on their journey of faith. And sometimes you'll be really fortunate to start with somebody and see where they come to at the end. And that's really exciting. But other times you won't necessarily. You're just in that place where you move them on to the next place. It's another quote from Justin Welby. I feel like I'm a bit of a Justin Welby fan. But anyway, he said, you may not see anything until you leave the scene. He talks about how before he became a vicar and then the Archbishop of Canterbury, that he used to, when he worked in business, he used to go on and have to travel a lot. And so he used to spend a lot of time in airports and particularly with a couple of colleagues. And they used to have conversations. But he doesn't really remember them being anything particularly amazing. And but basically, how many years later, 10, 15 years later, he met up with somebody. And the first thing they said is, oh, such and such, Steve wanted me to tell you that he's become a Christian. And he says it started when you had all those conversations in the airport. And that was the same for me. A little while ago, I met up with an old school friend who, when we were at school together, secondary school together, she started coming along to like my youth group. And I also invited her one time to come to Spring Harvest with us. And so she came to Spring Harvest, had a brilliant time, and had some real encounters with Jesus. When she came home, she was from a Hindu background. Her mum and dad, suddenly when they thought it wasn't such just for social, that maybe she was starting to like what she was going to and Jesus, that they really said she couldn't come anymore. And I was really gutted. And actually very quickly, she sort of seemed to not really fight it, and she went off to university and we kept in contact, and there was just nothing. And I felt quite disappointed, really. And I kept in contact with her for a long time. We would meet up and things, nothing. And then I lost contact with her for a couple of years, and then about 2 years ago we met in London, and there was a few of us that were going to meet. And I arrived, she was already there, so we were the first two people there. And so we sat down and had a drink. And within about the first 10 minutes, she said, oh, I wanted to tell you I'm getting baptized next week. And she said, it's always been there, Julie. You should have known it was always there. She said, I've been wanting to for a little while, but I just ignored it. And then she'd walked out of work about a year before. She'd seen an Alpha poster, and she just thought, I'm going to have to do that. So she'd rung around, found a church near her that was going to do Alpha. She did Alpha. She's been going to the church ever since. And then she was going to be baptized. And it's that thing, isn't it? But sometimes we don't know what our answering the question, whatever it is, we don't know. We have walked away from the scene before we get to see everything that happens. You know, in my book club, one of my lovely friends, Sadie, I mean, it's amazing. She's done Alpha, but she hasn't made a commitment yet. So she did Alpha. She loved it. But then she didn't seem to make a commitment. That's fine. 18 months later, she's now started to go to a small group, still not coming to church, still not sure. You know, it's a journey. You know, it's taken a long time. I'm still friends with her, but, you know, I'm a little bit of a step back. But I just encourage you that it is a journey, and sometimes also it will feel like people take a step forward and then a step back. I had a couple of friends who came to church for a few times with us, and they seemed to be really touched by God. They really were enjoying it. They were coming regularly each week, and then one day they stopped. And I don't know where they're at the moment, but, you know, at that point, you just have to trust God. So do the thing you enjoy. Start where people are at. It's a journey that you have to walk with people along. I think the other thing is, I don't know, for me, I think I began to realise and was quite challenged as I was forming those friendships and as the friendships were getting deeper, and that I was lucky enough to be, and as you are, I was really lucky to be at a church where they had lots of things going on. And I don't know about you, but I've been in the past when you sit there, I'll be really honest, and you know there's an event coming up at church and they're really encouraging you to invite people. And I would sit there and I think, oh, I did it in that first year at St. Paul's, because they were doing events, things all the time, and they'd, you know, Mark would be really enthusiastic. We must, you know, really invite people. You know, it's a lovely thing for people to come to. And if I'm honest, I would sit there and I'd think, oh, I really should invite people. And so then I'd be thinking about, well, who is it I could invite? And I'd have people in my mind, but at the same time, I'd think, oh, I don't really, you know, it feels a bit odd to invite them, because I felt like my friendship with them wasn't quite there. Do you know what I mean? And it felt a bit weird asking them, oh, would you like to come along to this? I know we haven't done anything else particularly social, and we just have these snippet conversations on the way to school, but would you like to come to such and such with me? And I think one thing that I really noticed is, after a year of the book club and really investing and being intentional about those friendships, when I then had all these invitational things that I could invite people to, it suddenly didn't, I still had to be bold, you still have to be a bit bold and invite them, but actually it didn't seem so hard anymore, because actually I had this natural group that actually, when I invited them and gave out invitations and said, oh, do you want to come to? So, I mean, they came to, quite a few of them came to, there was a session on mindfulness, a load of them came to that. One of them did a parenting course. Sadie did Alpha. They all came to, they did a summer create. Then they all came to the Christmas create. They probably wouldn't have all got an invitation to the Christmas create if, because basically I'd invited them all. They all said they were coming, all seven of them in the book club. And then literally 3 weeks later, Lindsay, Lindsay Mellerish runs the women's ministry there. She said, oh, Julie, would you like to, they do a little talk at their Christmas create. She said, would you like to do the talk? And in my head, I was thinking, no, I have just invited seven of my neighbours to come to create for Christmas. No, I do not want to do the talk. But of course, if you ever talk to Lindsay, it's not being recorded. It is. Oh, hello, Lindsay. It's very hard to say no to Lindsay because she asked so nicely. So I said, of course, Lindsay, I'll do the talk, thinking, oh, no, this is going to be really embarrassing as well, because it's going to seem like I invited them to come and hear me talk. But anyway, so I did have a little joke with them all, and I mentioned them all in my talk. But it was fine, and they were fine about it. Quite a few of them said to me, oh, I was so nervous for you, Julie, doing your talk. Oh, I was, you know, some of them even, they didn't quite say it, but you felt like they wanted to say, I was praying for you that it would go well. But so they came for Create for Christmas. Yeah, loads of things. And I just think that I suddenly felt that I actually, it wasn't so awful, that inviting, when actually I had a friendship with them. And that was, and they had invited me to things to do with their lives, and they just saw it as a natural thing that I would invite them to things that were going on in church. I was reading somewhere that, talking about this issue of inviting, and they were talking about where churches where maybe you're thinking, I can't invite them to that. oh no, that'd be awful. And so they were encouraging people that actually, if you feel you're not, that maybe either put on something that you would invite people to, that actually you would invite them to, or suggest or whatever. But I think the four things that I would just say, I'll just recap, is do the thing you enjoy. Start where people are at. Remember, it is a journey. It could take a long time. I had this lovely friend in Ealing. She's now had to move. She's moved back to Korea. But she called Ellie. And I always remember one day she got up at church. And she was a real prayer and very faithful. And she was really, really lovely. And she got up as if like it was completely normal. And she was sharing. And she said, her words were, I've just been praying for 25 years for my dad. And when I went back last week, he made a commitment to Christ. But it was the fact that she said, I've just been praying for 25 years, as if for her, that wasn't very long at all. But the rest of us were all like, whoa, 25 years, that's a long journey. But, you know, it is. So I think the last thing I'm just going to leave with is, I think the other thing is that also, to pray for people, to pray for those friends and commit them in prayer. I can remember there were times when I was thinking, oh, you know, I was having lots of fun with them, but I was thinking, oh, I don't feel like they've made much, you know, I've had opportunities this week to really share with them or whatever. And I know that then when the times when I prayed, something would then happen. Quite often, like a couple of weeks later, I would have a conversation that just felt like I was able to share a little bit more about my faith and what Jesus meant to me and what he could mean to them as well. So that's my little journey of my little book club. And that's me really finished. But I just was going to encourage us maybe in a little bit to maybe pray where we are. But there would also be people that would love to pray for people if maybe if they feel that there's something they don't really want to share, but they would really love prayer for. But before we go into that, I just wanted to share a couple of things that I'd been thinking this week. And also a lovely Fiona had a couple of words. And I think one thing that I just felt was that if there was anybody here who like my friend Jo, maybe needs to, who does really hear God's voice, but maybe lacks boldness to, you know, and is maybe fearful about sharing the things that maybe sometimes the pictures or the words that people give them, that actually maybe just, that it, maybe they want to just pray that actually they would begin to use the gifts that God has given them, maybe not within church, but also with people that they meet. I think I just also felt that in terms of this confidence, you know, confidence comes from encounters with Jesus. But I think God is really gracious, and that actually if we feel that we feel a bit distant from God, and that actually we haven't really been with Jesus very much, and we feel a bit distant, I just felt like this morning that actually God's very gracious, and that actually we can just come to him and we can ask him to just come and touch us and bless us today, that we would be reminded about the good news of Jesus in our own lives, and that maybe people could maybe just pray that for others, or there might be people who particularly need that. And also, for anyone here who's been journeying with somebody a long time, like my friend Ellie, who just said, just 25 years, that actually there may be people where, I mean, she said it like that, just 25 years, but it must have been times in that 25 years when it was hard going. And I just really felt that maybe there would be people who they've got somebody who they love dearly, who they would love to see come to know Jesus. And actually, they just need a bit of a breakthrough in that. And they want to ask God to either give them, that they would keep going, and that God would break into that situation. Fiona also had a couple of words, and that idea of also that sometimes fear can stop us doing stuff. But actually in the Bible, it says that perfect love casts out all fear, and that God's love can cast out that fear that stops us sometimes wanting to share with others, that actually we're fearful of people's responses, and that actually maybe today people could pray that that love that God gives that's perfect can cast out that fear. And the other thing Fiona said was that maybe people have, a bit like my friend Jo, they have been, I mean, hers was like, God taught us something in that place. But there are times when we probably have found ourselves rejected and people have turned their back and not want, you know, we've tried to make that share our faith or answer the question or be bold. And maybe we've been rejected and actually it feels like a bit of a wound. And so now we're a bit fearful, or when it happens again, it's like somebody is being poking at that wound. And that actually maybe we wanted to ask God to come in and to bring healing in that place. So as I said, if people want to pray in their groups, then I'd really encourage you to pray for one another. But equally, there'll be people up here who would be really happy to pray also if you'd rather come up for prayer.